What's poppin', y'all? Welcome to episode 5 of The Kane Show. My name is Kane Kerner. Right now it's 7:40 p.m. and I am still up here in this storage room. I'm really grateful to be here. It's a cool little spot. But that's beside the point, man. So far I've had a good day today. I went to the gym, got some content done, answered a fuckload of emails. Some coming from potential clients from my coaching, some from people that were inquiring about my promotional fees, how much I charge to like promote on my social media and shit. You know, man, average fucking day. That being said, average ain't always a bad thing. Sometimes it's the best thing we need. And a little curveball was thrown my way today. There's this drawing I was checking out at the gym the past couple times, and like we've been there a few times, you know. I don't want to bother anybody or make anyone feel uncomfortable at their, you know, at a place that they go to work. You know what I mean? I go to the gym to work. I don't go there to socialize, but I'll be lying if I said I wasn't open to it. I've been, you know, scoping this one drawing out, but shit, we were both going for the squat. We were both going for the squat rack at the same time. But I didn't know that, and I got there first, like, you know what I mean, by a good, like, 30 seconds. But I was like, oh, shit, I was like, yo, like, I'm only doing 7 sets, like, I'll let you get in if you want, you know what I mean, I'll be done really quick. So, you know, I finished that. She complimented me on my Crocs. I complimented, I was a little forward with my compliment, but it was appreciated, and it was reciprocated. Forget her fucking name, though. I'm like, I introduced myself, like, I'm Kane. She said something. It began with a J. But I was nervous as shit, so I really wasn't even listening. And I had to introduce myself to her friend, so she ain't feel left out. But my focus was on, you know what it was on, you know what I mean? If you know me, then you know what I'm into. And usually it's something that you carry with you on wherever you go, you know what I mean? It's behind you. Anyway, shit, cool day. But anyway, man, episode 5 of the podcast. Fuck, I had no idea what to talk about. So, my way of remedying that was to make a post on my Instagram story saying, hey, I'm recording episode 5 of my podcast today. What do you want me to talk about? And if you follow me on Instagram, then there's a strong chance that what you want me to talk about is going to be talked about on this episode. So let's fucking go, man. All right, I'm scrolling through the screenshots right now. My one ex told me to talk about her ass, and it's nice, you know what I mean? I fuck with it. You know, she know that, but we ain't gonna talk about that all the time. Come on now, we gotta be fucking professional. My diet. Christopher Rowan wants to know about my diet. I eat a lot of fruit. I eat fruit more than anything, but I'm not a fruitarian and I'm not a vegan. Shout out to those that are, I'm fucking not. I ate 5 eggs today. Last night I had 3 pieces of, like, chicken thigh. You know, like, yeah, I eat a lot of fruit, though. I love raw fruits and vegetables. They're great for you. I drink, like, 3 cups of coffee a day. I drink a lot of water in between. Yeah, man. Yeah. Golf Balls 84 said Tartaria. I don't know what the fuck that is, and, I'm about to Google it right now. Just for the sake of it. I hope he ain't sending me no wild ass shit. Hold on. Tartaria. Such theories assert that Tartary or Tartaria was a lost civilization with advanced technology and culture. Oh, it's fucking lit. Okay, I'm gonna check that shit out later, bro. Actually, should I check it out now? Hold on, let me read a little bit about it. Tartaria was a blanket term used in Western European literature and cartography for a vast part of Asia bounded by the Caspian Sea, the Ural Mountains, the Pacific Ocean, and the northern borders of China, India, and Persia, at a time when this region was largely unknown to European geographers. Well, that's the problem with, like, fucking history. Like, when the fuck did we decide that Europe was, like, in charge of, like, fucking keeping records and stuff? Like, you're most, I'm, you know, my fucking lineage, my fat, like, whatever, is European, you know what I mean? I'm a white dude from Philly, you know what I mean? My grandfather's Hungarian, my father and my uncle, they're Hungarian American, you know what I mean? They're first generation, like, here, whatever. Me, I'm a white dude from Philly of Hungarian descent. You know what I mean? Whatever. That being said, it's historically proven that Europeans didn't know how to wash their ass properly. So how the fuck do you think they could geograph fucking properly anyway? Tartaria. All right, my G, you up on some stuff, bro. You smart. Okay, you stay woke, my brother. How nutrition and fitness affects mental health. Well, when it comes to nutrition, like, if you eat like shit, you're going to feel like shit. If you don't do shit, you're going to feel like you don't do shit. So, like, I don't really eat fucking shit because I don't want to feel like shit. And I like working out because working out helps me not feel like shit. In fact, working out helps me feel really good. And doing all those things, also when paired with a regimented sleep schedule, it is the gains and the benefits that you experience mentally and emotionally are exponential. That shit just keeps going on and on and on, like the fucking Erykah Badu song. That shit, it's important, you know. Nutrition and fitness is very fucking important, you know what I mean? Yeah, and that's from A. It's Preet. So shout out to A. It's Preet, you know what I mean? Thank you, bro. Ooh, Alchemy 369 said, dating women before and after you reach a certain level of enlightenment. Well, here's the thing. I don't believe in, like, that self-proclaimed enlightenment stuff, right? Like, I'm only enlightened as people think I am, because regardless of how enlightened I believe or know I am, we are all limited and bound to, in some way, shape, or form, the perception of others, you know? That's why we have to be particular with those that we place ourselves around, because, you know, some people are fucking stupid, just simple as that, and, you know, and they're happy with it, and that's okay. They have a right to be that way. I will say, though, that the more that I have focused inward and prioritize my mental health maintenance and emotional literacy, my ability to express myself in a healthy and structured way, I find myself way less tolerant of shit that I used to be. I don't have patience for any of that frivolous, stupid shit, like that surface level, shallow bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, look, do I appreciate a fat ass? Hell yeah, I do, and I always will. You know, have I been with dancers and sex workers? Yeah, all that shit, right? But if your whole life revolves around that and, like, the pursuit of material goods and all that, I like nice shit, too. I got shoes that are worth more than my car, like, whatever, bro. You know what I mean? Cool. That being said, though, I'm sober. I'm 3 years sober. If your idea of having fun is, like, going to the club and getting fucked up, like, I was doing that shit when I was, like, in my teens. I'm 27 now. I ain't doing that. So dating is a little tricky. It's a little hard, you know, because, like, getting rid of alcohol and getting high as a vice, as a form of having fun, I have found that a lot of my energy has shifted into creating, like, sex as a vice. And you know, there's times where I just, you know, look, if that's what we're getting into, if we're just going to take care of each other's physical needs in that regard, then fuck it, let's do it. You know, you can live your life how you live your life, you know. But if we're entertaining the idea of a partnership, of like a union, it probably ain't gonna fucking happen, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I'm holding tryouts, though, so, you know, if anyone out there is listening, don't give up, you know what I mean? If you a little Thundercat and you like going to Miami and all that stuff, all hope is not lost, baby, you know what I mean? We could work it out, like the Beatles said, you know what I mean? We can work it out, try to see things my way, hey, you know what I mean? Stevie Wonder did a great cover of that. Anyway, Lauren, Lurign, said, what is your MBTI type? If you haven't taken it, definitely take a look into it. You about to have me do some shit. Oh, the personality test? What the fuck is this? Meyer-Briggs type? Oh, damn, y'all about to make me do a test? Do I regularly make new friends? I'm the thing that keeps friendships from happening. So I'm going to lean. So look, there's three dots that go towards agree. And then there's three dots that go towards disagree. And then there's one in the middle for like mutual shit. Regularly make new friends. I'm friendly with people, but I don't make new friends. So I'm going to hit neutral. I spend a lot. Do you spend a lot of free time exploring various random topics that pique your interest? I'm going to put the second closest to agree. Seeing other people cry can easily make you feel like you want to cry too. It goes one of two ways. If I love you and I care about you, yes. But if I don't love you or care about you, it annoys me. So I'm going to hit the middle. I'm going to hit the one dot close to agree. You often make a backup plan for a backup plan. Nah. No, in the middle. Actually, no, I'm going to put disagree completely. One dot towards disagree. You usually stay calm even under a lot of pressure. Yeah, second, I'm doing the second dot to agree. At social events, you rarely try to introduce yourself to new people and mostly talk to the ones you already know. I'm putting one close to it, one dot on the side of agree. Oh, I'm only at 10% for doing all that. All right, look, we ain't going to do all that. Myers-Briggs, though, baby, yeah, I'll look into it. You know what I mean? We'll get there. I'm sorry. I'm not doing all that shit. I ain't trying to do that this long of a fucking, you know what I mean? Love, lust, and marriage / cheating from North North 215. Shout out to Philly, man. You know what I mean? I could tell you down north because you got North North in your shit. I talked about that on episode 3 of the podcast. Yeah, bro. Seen it all, done it all, you know what I mean? I've been with married women, I've been with, you know what I mean, women in relationships, been in situations where a dude watched, you know what I mean, whatever, bro. Anyway, we're gonna keep it going. Lovely Lunar Gems said, do you believe that practicing gratitude can alter the way you think and process obstacles in life? Yes. Anyway, Peace and Love 739 said, where do you get the ideas that you talk about in your stories every day? Great, great wisdom. First of all, Peace and Love 738. Mwah. Thank you. I appreciate that shit. Let me sip my coffee real quick. Hold on. Oh, god damn. All right. Sound like I could drink sand. All right. Thank you for thinking I'm wise and all that stuff. Mostly the comments, man. It's hard for me to reply. I used to reply to every comment, and these days it's really difficult to. It's a good problem to have, you know, lots of comments and support. But I read them. I read a lot of them, and I go through messages even though I don't reply to all of them. I can't. It wouldn't be fair if I replied to some and not others, you know. So usually I just reply to none, but I read a lot of them. And I try to reply in my upcoming videos, you know, so hopefully, if those people are really tuned into my content, I end up answering their question with a fucking video as opposed to a direct answer, you know. That being said, though, my email has been in my bio since I started my social media shit. Hopefully, you know, people don't realize it. Anyway, thank you, peace and love. Venatus5011 said, how do you feel life? Life good. Great feeling. Okay, now, bye. Anyway, what's next? Officially Shapeless said, patience. How do I feel about patience? It's important, you know? So, body, mind, soul, and body, patience is important, you know what I mean? But I ain't a doctor. I ain't got no patience, you know what I mean? Ba-dum-ts. Okay, Hennessy Etch said, transparency and authenticity. You gotta have the balls to do it. I've decided a long time ago that in order to combat my feelings of shame and guilt, that while also learning to abstain from doing things that leave me feeling ashamed and guilty, I must also, for me, be honest about those things. You know, it's sort of like, here we go, white rapper referencing 8 Mile, B Rabbit. Eminem, Slim Shady, fucking, you know, the one line where he's like, tell these people something they don't know about me. He disarmed Papa Doc by taking everything that Papa Doc was gonna diss him about in his rap, in his verse. He took it and he used it all against himself, and he won the crowd over, leaving there nothing to be, leaving nothing for Papa Doc to talk about, you know, in his retort. So that's pretty much how I live life. Before I give someone a chance to even, not that anyone probably would, but knock on wood, but like, you know, I gotta fucking, I've only had one bad ex scenario and we weren't even dating. But if anyone were to ever try to use something against me, there's nothing they could use against me that I haven't already owned up to. So I just think transparency and authenticity is the way to go. You know, it's the best route. It's a show of strength and self-confidence. And also, we live in a day and age of at least perceived transparency. Some people are great at making people think that they know everything about them, when in reality they only know a small percentage. And I don't know, we're in a day and age where people want to know more about their favorite people than ever before. So if I am working hard in all I do to become people's favorite, one of people's favorite people, I gotta get with the times, right? But also, you gotta stay true to self and maintain some personal integrity. There's certain shit I don't talk about, you know? Where I'm at. Flower Child CL said the New World Order. I don't give a fuck about that, babe. I'm gonna let you know. I'm really sorry. I'm sure that there's some people that expect me to be into all that shit. I don't give a fuck. I really don't, bro. I believe, you know, I believe this world was bought and sold a long time ago before my ass came into it. I'm just trying to help people enjoy themselves and have an easier time while we're here. We're here for a limited time. We're here for a good time, not a long time. You know what I mean? Anywho, Jade Like the Stone said, any tips you can give for others who want to establish stronger social media presence and connections? Oh, fuck. Nah, not really. I don't really have any tips. Be consistent. Fucking go with what you naturally know or feel like you know the most about. Just make sure you got your lighting right. Make sure that you fucking engage with people, you know? I don't know. There's a lot of, I'm grateful for everything that's come my way by way of social media, but there's a lot about it that I don't have anything to do with. I put my shit out, and people choose whether or not they fuck with it, whether or not they resonate with it. I'm responsible for making the, we are responsible for making the content. Everything else is out of our hands, you know? And I believe God has a lot to do with it. I believe people like you have a lot to do with it. And I'm grateful for you know, for the fortune that's been bestowed upon me. But yeah, I don't got much tips for that. Just be good at your shit. What else? Where are we at? Boop Boop 25 said, working with your bipolar to help create healthy relationships. Well, that's the thing. I do recognize that there's a good bit of my whole process that would probably show that I hinder my relationship sometimes. Like, there is a part of me that maybe subconsciously is afraid of coming on too strong or getting involved with people when we might end up not being, especially romantically, not be together somewhere soon down the road. So I have found, ironically enough, like, the more that I share myself in my music and in my internet content, the more guarded I have grown in my personal relationships, you know? Like, I'm kind of it's hard for me to let that my guard down, especially following this one fucked up like situation I had. Like, it was like a 2 or 3 year situation, and it fucked me up, you know. I'm nowhere near as open and inviting when it comes to like love and trust as I used to be, you know. But as far as the bipolar shit goes, I think first and foremost, the important thing is to recognize that it has everything to do with you and nothing to do with anybody else. The world's going to be how it is. People are going to be how they are. And my job, being somebody that, you know, is clinically diagnosed as bipolar 1, it's my job to figure out how to fucking deal with it and manage it, and it's not anybody else's. Now, if somebody goes out of their way to support me or to educate themselves on bipolar so that they can perhaps know how to better interact with me, be in my life, have me be in theirs, love me, what have you, I fucking appreciate that shit, and I make it known. But I don't expect that, you know. I don't expect that of anybody. It's for me to worry about and for me to master and adhere to and overcome. Thank you, Boop Boop 25. Music, your journey through music, your inspirations, favorites, etc. People ask me this all the time on my TikTok lives, and I never talk about them because, quite frankly, all of my musical influences, they've had illustrious careers. They got their millions, you know what I mean? They got enough support going. And when you start talking about your favorites or what you like of anything on a TikTok live or whatever, everybody just starts fucking throwing every single person in history that has ever made music into the comment section. And, look, I love my heroes and my inspirations, but, like, I'm trying to promote my shit. You feel me? Okay. So, my journey through music. For the better part of a decade, I've been recording and performing music in the Philadelphia area. It started out with rap because that was the most easily accessible thing for me to do. I love rap. I love hip-hop. I'm a fucking nerd. I'm a historian when it comes to the culture, the craft, the art form. And I pride myself in knowing not only the history, and even though it's not my culture, it is a culture that I'm allowed to take part in, my history, you know what I mean, the history. So it started with that, you know. I didn't have enough friends to start a band. I love all genres of music, but you know, rapping along the music, I'm just like, yo, fuck it, I know I got a knack for this, I could do this shit. And I always wrote poetry. I was always very, very vocal about how I feel through the medium of prose, you know. That's a fancy ass way to say I wrote a lot, you know. And you know, I usually kept it to myself. But in high school, we used to cut class. I went to Kappa, Creative and Performing Arts High School of Philadelphia. And I was, you know, we would eat lunch and all that. Lunch was free for a lot of us. And then we would leave, and we would go to this park a block away called Burnt Cat. And we would get high as fuck, and we would just rap, you know, instrumental majors, vocal majors. I was a theater major. And, you know, a lot of kids would be there, and they would ball because they had a court there. But we would all smoke weed. Be passing like maybe a blunt between fucking 14 people, you know. I always had my own weed at home. Like, I like smoking by myself, but like, yo, if there's weed being passed around in those days, I was gonna smoke that shit, you know. So, but then someone would get to beatboxing and singing, and a cipher would break out, and then we would start rapping. And usually it was off the dome, but I started noticing that some of my peers and a couple of my friends, some of them were technically, you know, rivals, we were competing for attention. Some of them I could tell were bringing writtens, and I was like, oh fuck, like, I didn't know we were bringing writtens into the party. So I started bringing writtens, and we all started getting vocal about whether or not what we were about to do was written, or if it was, you know, improvised some freestyle shit, real off the dome freestyle shit. And everybody, man, look, man, I don't give a fuck if it sounds arrogant or not. No matter where you put me, I'm going to shine. No matter where you put me, I'm going to do whatever it is I do. And for some reason, whatever it is I do has always been enough to stand out. I consider myself very blessed and fortunate to live like that and to have lived like that. And I quickly started gaining attention. Before long, every grade, especially in Kappa, had their guy or, you know, whoever that was like, yo, he's the one out of our class when it comes to this music shit, when it comes to this rap shit. And it was competition in that school, but not on my watch. And I meant that shit. Like, I was down to battle. I was down to go for hours. I never even recorded before, but I just, you couldn't tell me anyone was fucking with me. You know, the grade above me, the grades above me, it was my boy Ruffin. You know what I mean? And that's my big bro, you know, that he's my favorite artist. He taught me how to write songs better when we finally started working. But, you know, I'll be damned if I wasn't that dude for my class, right? So, through there, hooked up with this dude named D Prime. He asked my boy Marcus and I to write to this beat. He said he was putting together like a cypher video with this team of videographers called Shot and Cut. It's this dude Pat Murray and his partner at the time, Pam. Rest in peace. You know, Pam no longer with us. Beautiful person. They came down to the city and they filmed us all rapping to this beat called Ill Street Blues. And we all just like spit a 16. But somewhere at the end of my verse, I forgot my lines and I just started flowing like off the dome. And that shit was fire. We were at the municipal building in Philly, right next to Love Park and City Hall, you know. Back when Love Park and City Hall was still Love Park and City Hall. And I had the last verse. Like, usually, you know, the anchor, whoever goes last, like, they, you know, that's the mother, they save it for the motherfucker with, you know, with the verse, the fire verse. And I did all right for it at that time. I was like 16, 17. We recorded from there, Prime and Marcus were like, yo, like, we should do some more shit. Like, we want, you know what I mean? And I was like, all right, I'll go up. D Prime had a hookup with this dude named Bear One. Bear One had an apartment out of 6th and Cecil that if you had the, you know, like $30, $40, you could pay him hourly and he would let you record in his crib. So we would go do that. The first song we did, I sang the chorus and I did a verse. I sang and wrote the chorus and I did a verse on it. And little did I know that would have a strong indication of what to expect for the trajectory of like my creative process, my career, whatever. Because now to this day, there's people that know me mainly for my singing, and there's people that mainly know me for my rapping, and they get surprised as fuck when they hear that I do one or the other. Most of y'all that are probably listening to this right now don't even know that I make fucking music, and that's beautiful, that's great, because I've spent more than enough time preparing myself and sharpening my skills so that when you do listen to it now, should you go and listen to it, not only are you inclined to like it more because you probably fuck with my videos or something, or the stuff that comes out of my mouth in my videos, but you know, you're more inclined to like it because you developed a relationship with me through my content. You're like, oh, I trust what this dude has to say in his videos. You're probably more likely to give my music a chance. And you won't be disappointed because I've been doing the music shit longer than I've been doing the fucking fruit videos. You know, the fruit for thoughts and all that. Anyway, my inspirations are very, very widespread, you know. I love Pac. I love Nirvana. That whole grunge era was brilliant, you know. Alice in Chains, Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam, you know, all those guys. You know, I love Johnny Cash. I love Marvin Gaye. I love the Isley Brothers. I love the Beatles. I love the Stones. Fuck, man. I love Rage Against the Machine. I love Jay-Z. I love Kanye. Kanye, I would say, is single-handedly responsible for most of my confidence as an artist and my self-belief as a creative. I grew up loving Atmosphere, you know, De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, fucking Amy Winehouse, Nina Simone, Sade, Whitney. I love Waylon Jennings. There's a lot of people that I fuck with, you know what I mean? Like, my music taste varies, man. And I love even newer shit. Like, you know, I love 21 Savage. One of my favorite artists of like the most recent generation was XXXTentacion. And you know, he was 20 years old. He was a fucking baby when he got took. Anyway, man. So, you know, my inspirations vary, and hopefully, if and when you check out my music, you understand why. Because, or at least I hope you understand why I create the kind of music I do. I don't believe in being bound to a genre. I recognize the ways that as a white creative, I'm privileged, with the ability to not be as pigeonholed as, you know, most black artists or artists of color, especially in these industries. If you're black, or if you're black, or if you're an artist of color, they usually try to stick you to whatever is more typical, or should I say stereotypical, for people of your appearance. And that is slowly but surely not being the case anymore. It is breaking down. It is opening up to where the listeners now are more open to receiving multiple things from their favorite artists, their favorite people. And the industry is losing control by the day of how they can dictate, or whether they can dictate at all, what people listen to. But I also, you know, that aside, I recognize my, I try at least to recognize my privileges as a creative. That being said, I'll be damned if I don't take advantage of them. Because, you know, let the record show, I wouldn't be the artist I am, the creative I am. I wouldn't have the hustle mentality that I have as far as putting myself out there and really living this music shit if it wasn't for my fellow peers and creatives, which the majority of them are black, you know, and I consider myself truly blessed and honored to be taken in and loved and supported and protected by, you know, by my people. And you know, coming up in Philly, man, you get exposed to a lot of different characters, and it molds you in a kind of way. I'm proud to be from here, but there's this chip on the shoulder that most Philly creatives carry, and it stems from feeling jaded. It stems from being slighted. It stems from this crabs in the barrel mentality, and as we all know, crabs don't belong in a barrel, you know. But being that everybody is fed this belief that there's limited resources as far as music goes, that there's this thing, this theoretical fucking thing that everyone's fighting for, and there isn't enough of it around for everybody. People are hateful and envious, and people ain't even got enough shit to be hateful and envious of. That's why most of the, you know, the people who end up having long, fruitful careers end up leaving. And I fully understand and respect it. Fucking see the world, damn it. Way more out here than Philly. That being said, I've talked enough about it. Yeah, man. Good amount of influences. And, you know, eventually, like, you know, I love them to death, but, like, I remember trying certain stuff in the studio with my OG Bear, you know. And he wasn't with it. He wanted me to continue rapping. He really supported my rapping style, my music, you know, my rap music. I wanted to sing, I wanted to scream. He wasn't really open to it. My boy Ruffin, he was closer to my age. He was doing shit that was more up my creative alley, and he wasn't bound to a genre, and he wasn't binding me to a genre. And my boy Ruffin was like, yo, just come record with me. And we've been doing that shit since. And Ruffin's fucking shining right now. He's doing great. He's got a lot of beautiful things on the way, and he's been fucking killing it. And I consider myself truly blessed to have a friend and a brother like him in this lifetime. You know, it's a blessing to know him. And whether we're recording brilliant music or we're just hanging out and doing nothing, it's hard for me to think of other things that I'd rather be doing. So, yeah, man, my music's going great. I just had two songs hit over 100,000 streams on Spotify. And those two particular songs are actually approaching 100 streams on Apple as well. One of my videos just hit 30K on YouTube. It feels good, you know. Okay, let's get to some other questions. I just talked like for all those minutes about music. Might be alienating some people. All right, I'm going to answer two more, and then I got to post on TikTok and get ready for my live. Where are we at? This is John. Lil Lisa said, your adventures with me when you came to Vegas. Baby girl, you know damn well we ain't ever do nothing in Vegas. I don't know who you are. I don't know your age, you know what I mean? So please don't try and get me caught up, you know what I mean? I got a couple people offering me some, you know what I mean, that are based out of Vegas. So I'm going to make sure I save up so that when I go out there, I can get properly drained. You feel me? I ain't never met you before. I do not know this woman, and I'm innocent. Plavin1991 said, where you're from? I'm from Philly. So there's that, bro. The Mara Friche said, I want to know what is your daily routine. Love from Guatemala. Shout out to Guatemala. First girl I ever took on a date when I was in grade school. Her name was Stephanie Cartagena. Her family was from Guatemala. And we went to see Last Holiday with LL Cool J and Queen Latifah, because that was the only movie that was out. And she thought I was cute. She liked me because I looked like Zac Efron when I was a kid. I guess I still do. I think I look more like Denzel. But anyway, my daily routine is very simple. I'm fortunate as fuck that nowadays I can just wake up and meditate, go to the gym, make some fucking videos of me eating fruit, you know, do a counseling or coaching session or two, go live on TikTok and repeat. My days are very simple. I don't really do shit. Sometimes I would like to, but also, like, it is an extreme privilege and blessing to have a life that is consistent. You got to remind yourself of that at times, because sometimes life will feel boring, you know? Okay, where are we at? Gavin Jolson, this is a great one I think we're going to finish on. Gavin Jolson said, where your passion for mental health grew from. Well, growing up and recognizing that each of my respective parents had their own hurdles regarding mental health from a young age, and developing my own, going through fucked up shit in life, I always had a passion for just educating myself on why people, myself included, behaved the way they do, and why people don't behave the way they probably should, or the way that we want them to, because there's always a reason, and it's like an onion, like, you know, there's layers to it, you keep peeling it, you know, and eventually you get to, like, the little itty-bitty inner part of the onion, but whatever. What really increased my passion for mental health is that in January of 2019, I was willingly committed to a psychiatric facility in Pennsylvania called Horsham Clinic. And you know, while I was there, I was diagnosed with bipolar 1. And something else. We ain't gonna talk about that. Shit. And while I was there, there were a lot of interactions I had with the staff, doctors, and fellow patients alike, which would ultimately lead to them saying, like, you know, I heard the phrase, why are you here? Like 50 fucking times. And I would always kind of give the same sheepish, like, well, you know, I'm just having a hard time, like, you know, and they'd be like, no, like, you're fucking, you really are spot on, like, you're really self-aware, and, like, you kind of know all these things, like, already, like, why are you here? And, you know, I was encouraged, you know, I don't have a college education, nor do I intend to get one. I'm cool on that, bro. That ain't me. My passion is not to be a therapist. Like, I'm gonna be one of the most successful musicians of all time, and I'm gonna be one of the most successful actors of all time. That's, I'm an entertainer, I'm an artist, you know. But hey man, I guess I got a knack for like understanding human fucking emotion or something. I don't know. Mental health maintenance and emotional literacy is very important in every regard of life, for myself and for others. I guess somewhere along the line I realized, like, in order to navigate through life better, I've got to understand this shit more. So, you know, I'm not big on politics, I'm not big on finances and shit like that. I'm big on human behavior, you know? Because ultimately, whatever field you're in, you got to know how to fucking read people and work with people. While also having to know how to read with, how to read and work with yourself. So that's what I'm passionate about. But people at the hospital, they were telling me, like, I had a knack for this and that I should fucking look into it. Social media afforded me the opportunity to do so. Here we are. Anyway, y'all, look, so I got a lot of questions I'm going to get into. I'll film another episode tomorrow. That'll be episode 6. But thank y'all, man. Wow, this is actually went way better than I thought it would. What's popping? This was the Kane Show. I'll see y'all next episode. Love y'all. Bye.